Well, we've got the same size crowd tonight as we had this morning. About. Lost a few this afternoon, picked up a few that weren't here this morning. Let me ask you three questions. Question number one, how's your relationship with Jesus? Oh, we can answer that question. Oh, I love Jesus. You know, I sing songs, praise Jesus, and sometimes I read about the things He did in the Bible. And how's your relationship with the Father? Oh, I pray to the Father. And I try to obey the things that He's told me to do. Now let me ask you a third question. How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? The who? The what? What you talking about? Some folks might say that the Church of Christ doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. Some folks in the Church of Christ just about don't. But do we realize that the Holy Spirit is just as much a part of the Godhead as the Father and the Son? But what do we know about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that's about all we know about Him. Last time you mentioned Him was probably, last time you heard Him mentioned may have been when you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the last time you heard of Him. Didn't know anything more about Him after that. Well, let's work on that. We're going to have some lessons on the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to start with getting to know the Holy Spirit. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is spoken of over 350 times in the Bible? That's quite a bit. 350 times in 66 books. That's on average over 5 times per book on the average. I mean, I know it's not the case because certainly he's mentioned a lot more in some books and less in others, but that's quite a bit for us to know as little as we do about him. More ignorance and superstition exists regarding the Spirit than most other Bible subjects. Certainly not than all others. There are probably some other things that would fall into those categories of things that people just really don't know much about. But the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit should not be as confusing to many people as He is. So many people are confused because they just haven't studied enough to know much about the Holy Spirit. They've been told things from the time they were little about the Holy Spirit that weren't true, and they believed them. You know, if somebody told you lies about somebody for all your life and you believed them all that time, it'd be hard to change your mind about some of those things. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? What do we know about the Holy Spirit? Certainly there are some things that we may never know. That's the way it is with... You may be married to somebody for 50 years and there may be something you still don't know about that person. Some of us don't even know ourselves that well. So certainly there are going to be some things about the Holy Spirit that are not revealed to us, that God has kept secret. Deuteronomy 29:29 talks about that. But the things that are revealed are for us and for our children. We need to learn these things. We, in essence, have turned what is often referred to as the Trinity, the Godhead, being the three in one. Sometimes we've just completely neglected one of the three, hardly even mentioned Him. So let's look at some things we can know. We can know the Holy Spirit is real. Ephesians 4:4 is our verse for the week. I looked at so many, and I guess just for this introductory lesson, that was the best one I could find. There is one Spirit. There is. I know I skipped a little there, but that, you know, there is one, all the ones. But there is one Spirit. One Holy Spirit. He's real. Not imaginary, but real. Secondly, and I bet you're hoping all the points will go as quickly as that first one did, don't you? That was a short point. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is called by many names, and we can know those names. We're not going to look at all of those tonight. He's referred to by 18 different names in the Old Testament, 39 names in the New Testament. There are five that are common to both the Old and New Testament. So that leaves 52 different names. How would you like if you had 52 different names? Or 52 different descriptive terms? We may have a lot of different descriptive terms for ourselves, mightn't we? You know, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a husband, my name is James, my name is Mr. Pasley. You know, I can go down the list of all the different things. You know, some people might call me jerk or an idiot or any number of other things they might want to call me, you know, how people do. But the Holy Spirit, by His own admission, between Him and the other two in the Godhead, they determine these 52 different names. Now, we're not going to look at all of those, okay? 17 of them express His relationship to the Father. 5 describe His relationship to the Son. 5 indicate His divine nature. 7 describe His own character. And then 17 are used to describe His relationship to men, to human beings. We'll look at a few of those just real quickly. He's referred to as the Holy Spirit. Also referred to as the Holy Ghost. Sometimes those are, different. Now, obviously, He's not a ghost in the sense that people today think of ghosts. People think today of a ghost as being somebody died, but not that kind of a ghost. The term at the time that the King James was translated, the word ghost simply meant a spirit, a spiritual being. And so that He's referred to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He's just referred to as the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord. And sometimes the Spirit of Truth. Sometimes He's called My Spirit by the Father. Sometimes He's referred to as the Comforter. He's referred to as the Spirit of Holiness, the Spirit of Glory, Spirit of Adoption. Those are just a few of the names. He's called by many names, many things to describe the kind of being that He is. Now, the third thing that we want to look at that we can know about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is an individual. And you notice, as I've been talking about the Holy Spirit, I've said He, His, Him. Not it. The Holy Spirit is a person, an individual. Not just like us, but has an individuality like we do. The Holy Spirit is not a principle or an influence or a feeling. And then some in the religious world have relegated Him to that role. I knew it was the Holy Spirit because I could feel it. The Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's an individual. And He needs to be treated that way. Let's look at a few of the things that are evidence of that. Well, first of all, and these aren't on your outline, so you'll just have to fill them in yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1, we see that the Holy Spirit speaks. That indicates that He's a person. That's a personal attribute, to be able to speak. He testifies. He teaches and quickens the mind. John 14:26. He guides, John 16:13. He leads and forbids, Acts 16:6-7. He searches. I guess computers search sometimes too. We tell the computer to search. But basically these are things that an individual, a person, a being does. These are not the things that a thing could do. He's a counselor, John 14:16-17, and John 14:25-26 tell us. You know, a counselor, that indicates a person. He can be lied to. Now, you know, we don't often lie to trees or rocks or things, but we lie to people. And the Holy Spirit can be lied to, Acts 5:3-4. So we see that He is a personal being. 1 Corinthians 2:10-13, we see that He knows certain things. It says He knows. It says, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows things about God that we don't know. There's knowledge there. He teaches certain things that we speak not in the words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So He teaches. And He chooses. 1 Corinthians 12:11 talks about the spiritual gifts. It says all these work through the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. He chose. You realize that? When people got a miraculous gift in the first century, you ever wonder why this person got tongue speaking, this person got interpretation, this person got prophecy, this person got healing? You ever wonder why? Well, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit decided who was going to get what. He decided, well, this one over here is going to speak this language. This one over here is going to speak this language. This one over here is going to be able to interpret. This one over here is going to be prophesied. This one over here is going to be able to heal. This one over here is going to have wisdom. And this one over here is going to have a miraculous faith. And He chose that. Now, there again, a personal ability to choose these things and to decide, make decisions. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:14, we see that we can have communion or fellowship. We can have a sharing together with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, He's referred to there. And that's something that you have to have with a living being. Now I know that there are people who talk about going out and communing with nature, but let me tell you, that's not the same thing as communing with an intelligent being. Now you can go out and sit and stare at a flower all day, and it might be relaxing, but that's not the same as being in a situation of fellowship with another intelligent being. And the Holy Spirit is one who has an intelligence that we can share with Him. Then we see that He's capable of grief and sorrow. Now, you know, you could chop every limb off of a tree. The tree's not going to cry. Not going to feel sorrow. But you do that to something like that to a person, they're going to feel some sorrow. They're going to feel the pain. It's going to be very different. He's capable of grief. That's a personal thing. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That indicates that we could do something that would make Him sad, that would make Him sorrowful. And we're going to talk about some of the things in that respect another time, not tonight. But we are going to talk about the sins that we may commit against the Holy Spirit, the things that we may do that will damage our relationship with the Spirit. And there certainly are plenty of those things out there. So He is an individual. He's not a principle. He's not an influence. Not a feeling. And He's not just, some people say, well, he's just a part of God and not a separate individual being. He's a part of the Father. And sometimes because we talk about our spirit. And they say, well, my spirit or my soul. And so when we see a phrase in the Bible like the Spirit of God, we say, oh, well, see, that's just God's part of Him that's like my spirit's part of me. But it's not quite the same thing, because that spirit is independent. Even though they work together, they're not the same person. Because there are many things that the Holy Spirit does that the Father doesn't do. There are things that the Spirit does that the Son doesn't do. They're different individuals. See, anything you do, your spirit does it too. Up until the point where you die. At that point, then your body and your spirit separate. But as long as you're alive, anything you do, your body does it and your spirit does it. We can't separate the two, but God can separate the two. The Father waited in heaven while the Spirit came down to earth in the form of a dove, and Jesus was in the water. See, they're separate. Even though they have a single purpose, even though they work together as one, they're not really the same individual. And it's kind of hard for us to understand sometimes some of the things because God is higher than we are. It'd be kind of like trying to explain to a one-celled organism like an amoeba what it's like to have a lot of different body parts and a lot of different cells. The amoeba could never understand that. Because to an amoeba, that's all an amoeba knows, is just being one cell. What's it like to have a bunch of different cells? I don't understand that concept. And we will never understand some of the things about God. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't learn and study all of the things that we can. So since we see that the Holy Spirit, through all of this evidence that we've seen, He is a person, then He should be referred to as a person. And He should be related to as a person. When's the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? I don't do that. Well, we talk to the Father. Why can we talk to the Father, but we can't talk to the Spirit? Well, sure we could. We can talk to Jesus. We can talk to the Spirit. Now, if we're expecting them to answer us back, like we might talk with one another, we understand how the Bible teaches that was a time past. That now God speaks through His Word. He's spoken through His Son in the last day, and now we have the Word. And that, so we're not expecting a verbal answer in that respect. But there may be times in our lives where we need the Holy Spirit to help us to communicate to the Father. Romans 8 talks about that. We'll get more into some of the work of the Holy Spirit later on. But we relate to the Holy Spirit as a person. We have a relationship. I think it's interesting. I found a couple of songs that actually talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. But, you know, most of our songs that we sing the praises of the Father. Well, absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. They sing the praises of Jesus for what He's done for us. Nothing wrong with that. But how often do we sing songs that praise the Holy Spirit? How often do we worship Him? Well, wait a minute, are we supposed to worship the Holy Spirit? Sure. Because we can know the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is divine. The Holy Spirit is a divine member of the Godhead. And as such, is worthy of our praise and adoration and worship just as much as the Father and the Son. In fact, if we look at it, we're going to see that many of the things that we praise the Father and Son for could not have been accomplished without the Spirit. It took all three of them to do some of the things that we often, just like I said, we kind of ignore the Spirit, just kind of leave Him off to the side. And to some degree, that's because He doesn't emphasize Himself. But He is a part of that Godhead. Now let's look at some of the divine nature. See, our relationship, when we talk about our relationship with God, we're really talking about our relationship with all three of these individuals, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we may indicate certain things about each one. God's the Father. Jesus is our Savior. What does that mean? God wasn't part of us being saved? The Father wasn't part of that? The Spirit wasn't part of that? We say Jesus is our Savior. What about the Father and the Spirit? Did they have anything to do with us being saved? Sure they did. It had a lot to do with it. So our relationship, in many ways, is with all three. And that relationship really begins in earnest at baptism. I mentioned that a moment ago. When we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, all three of those are part of that relationship that starts there. Matthew 28:19 talks about that. 2 Corinthians 13:14 talks about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. But often when we say God, we really just mean the Father. And sometimes the Bible does use that term in that way. It refers to God when it's just referring to the Father. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the same as the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10-13 talks about that. God revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the thing, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And then we get on down to verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit teaches. So we see then the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost are both used in that same section of Scripture to refer to this individual. And we see, of course, then that the Holy Spirit, being the Spirit of God, is equal to God. Matthew 3:16-17, when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended like a dove. John 1:32-34, he says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. I bear record that this is the Son of God. So John understood that when he saw this dove, saw the Spirit coming down in the form of the dove, that Spirit was the Holy Ghost. That was indicating that this was the individual who was going to be baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. And we also see that a lie to the Holy Spirit is equal to a lie to God. We saw Acts 5 verse 3 earlier. Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Notice verse 4. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. See, Peter said, you lied to the Holy Spirit, you lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God, equal to, in every way, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, just like the Father, in every way. And so we need to understand that. So what about the Holy Spirit, though? Not only is he an individual, and not only is he a divine member of the Godhead, he is constantly at work. You look throughout the history of the world, and the Bible tells us of the works that he had done throughout the world's time. He was present at creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, Genesis 1:2 tells us. And then down in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." They were all three there right from the very beginning, and they worked together to make man in their image. You realize that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, accomplished the incarnation? Oh, a lot of times we thank the Father for sending His Son, but did you ever think about the role that the Holy Spirit played in that? Notice what Matthew 1:18 says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now I don't know how the Holy Ghost did it. I don't know how the Holy Ghost caused her to become pregnant with what was going to become Jesus. You know, that's Jesus there. I don't know how the Spirit did that. But the Spirit did it. The Father said, "Hey, this is our plan. Here's how we're going to do it." Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to be the one that goes." The Holy Spirit says, "Okay, I'm going to be the one that gets him there." And so Jesus and the Spirit worked out the details of what the Father's plan was. And of course, they worked the plan together. I don't want to indicate that one of them came up with the plan and the other two just had to do certain parts. That was the plan that they chose, that they worked out the details of, and each of them had their role to play. Then we see also that the Holy Spirit is responsible for spreading the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Can you imagine what the apostles would have been teaching if the Holy Ghost hadn't told them what they were supposed to say? If the Holy Ghost hadn't reminded them of the things Jesus had taught them? Can you imagine what a mess this book would be? I mean, you got 12 different men, 11 if you throw Judas out. You got 11 different men, and no telling what stories they might have come up with, they might have misremembered, or forgotten, or painted themselves in a better light than what they should have. The Holy Spirit brought it all back to them. John 15, 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father..." You notice that? You notice back in chapter 14, he said, "The Father will send the Comforter." And then here in chapter 15, he says, "I'll send him from the Father." You see how closely they work together? How intertwined they're working? But he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost coming, the Comforter coming to the apostles, was to testify of Jesus, to share the Word, to spread the Gospel. Now, he didn't just go out touching people and saying, "Hey, let me tell you." No, that wasn't his part of the plan. His part was to come to the apostles and to make sure that what they said was right and true, to make sure that they remembered what they were supposed to be teaching. That was his part in it. We never, ever read in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit ever teaching someone personally. He always did it through an intermediary, through another person, through another human being, in fact. Even when angels came, they never told. Even when Jesus himself appeared to Saul, on the road to Tarsus, he said, "You go and wait, and some man's going to come tell you what to do." So again, we see the separation of powers, we might say. And then in John 16, 7 through 14, Jesus says, "It's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is still reproving the world of sin? Now, most of the world is not listening. But that is still His role in this world today, to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is still doing those three works today and will continue until judgment day to do those three things. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that the Holy Spirit's out there tapping people on the shoulder saying, hey, you're committing a sin. Although, in some ways, that's almost what it's like. How many of you who, when you know the Scriptures tell you, you shall not steal, and you go in and you're about to get, because, I'm not supposed to steal. There's the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin. How'd He do it? Through the fact that you knew God's Word, that you had studied the Bible. He's still convicting you of sin. How do we convict people of their sin and encourage them and convince them to be baptized to wash their sins away? Well, we use the things the Holy Spirit has written for us. The Holy Spirit does the hard work. We tell them what show it to them. Let them read. And He does the hard work. And if the heart's good, it'll work on them. If the heart's not good, they'll be hardened to it. But we preach the Word, and the Word's either going to have its effect. That seed, that's the Word of God, that's either it's going to have its effect, or else it's not, depending on the soil it falls on. But the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for giving us this book that we can have to share with people those things that God wants us to know. And then, not only spread the Word, but to confirm the Word through miraculous gifts. That was another role that the Holy Spirit had. You just hear somebody out there saying something. Well, why should I believe that person? Well, the Holy Spirit gave them the miraculous gifts to be able to prove that they were who they said they were, and that they people better listen to what they had to say. He gave them speaking in tongues, Acts 2, 8, and 10. We see those speaking in tongues. Gave them healing abilities, Acts 4 and 8, we see that. He used the miraculous prophecy of the Old Testament. The things that were written hundreds of years before time. And how many times did the apostles appeal back to, do you remember what David wrote? Do you remember what Moses said? Do you remember what was said? Well, how did they have that? The Holy Spirit. It was His job. He was there to make sure that those prophecies were given so that they could be pointed to hundreds and even thousands of years later, point back to those prophecies. And of course, there's still prophecies in the New Testament. The prophecy of Jesus' return. The prophecy of Judgment Day to come. All of those things that are still awaiting. And the Holy Spirit is going to be part of making sure that those things come to pass. And the Holy Spirit guides Christians. Did so miraculously in the first century through the apostles, through direct involvement with the individual Christians. Remember, some of the Christians had the ability to prophesy, like Agabus, like Philip's daughters, they could prophesy. That some of the Christians had the ability to have a miraculous wisdom and a miraculous faith, and the Holy Spirit guided them through that. Now, we need to understand that those miracles could be abused and the Holy Spirit's guiding could be ignored. Don't you think the Holy Ghost warned Ananias and Sapphira again and again, don't do what you're about to do? They had their hearts set on it. They had their minds set on what they were going to do, and they ignored the prompting the Holy Spirit gave them. You see, the Holy Spirit never kept anybody from sinning. But it convicted, reproved them of the sin. But some people's conscience is so badly seared, they wouldn't listen. But it could be abused, misused. But also, the miraculous abilities of the Holy Spirit could be controlled. When Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 14 about the miraculous ability to prophesy or to speak in tongues, when he talks about that, he talks about the ability of the prophets and the ability of those who speak in tongues to wait their turn. Just because the Holy Spirit had given them something to do didn't mean they had just blurted out right then 10 people all at once blurting stuff out. He said the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. So even though the spirit guided and led, the spirit did not control. The individual still had the free will to choose what they were going to do. And of course now, the Holy Spirit continues to guide us through the Bible. Continues to guide us through the written word that we have. Unfortunately, He can only guide us as effectively as we know that word. If we convert someone to Christ, and the only thing that they've learned, we can imagine, they grew up in a bubble somewhere, never had any human contact, didn't know anything about the Bible, and we teach them what they need to do to be saved. We just teach them the plan of salvation. Now, if that individual, after being baptized, if they don't study some further beyond, well, I've got to repent and confess and be baptized and wash my sins, if they don't continue to study, they're never going to know how to worship God. They're never going to know how to behave as Christians and how to live a holy life. They're never going to know those things if they don't study the Word. That's the problem that so many times we have in the church, is that people stopped letting the Holy Spirit guide them. Now, if you ask them, they say the Holy Spirit's guiding them. What's really guiding them is their own emotions and their own feelings and their own intuition and the mores of society and whatever feels right, do it. And that's what's really guiding them. And they blame the Holy Spirit for it. The Holy Spirit never, ever would contradict what He has written in the Word. You know, somebody says, well, I'm doing this and such and so, and you say, well, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. And they say, oh, but the Holy Spirit's leading me. It may be a spirit leading them, but it ain't the Holy One. A self-centered, egotistical spirit may be leading them. Some sort of corrupt, evil spirit of sorts. You know, they may be following off the devil. They're not following the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit guides us today through what He teaches in the Word. And we will only follow as far as we know the Word. Now, I want to point out two quick things about that, however. We need to understand that even though the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us through the Word, the Holy Spirit and the Bible are not the same thing. Do we understand that? They're not the same thing. There are some people who have gotten so confused that they can't separate the book from the being. The Bible is a tool of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit created it, had it written down to be His tool to guide us and lead us. But this is not the Holy Spirit. It's a book. The things in it are the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to know. But we've got to understand, if I wrote my wife a letter, or if I wrote my children a list of instructions of what they were supposed to do on a particular day, that list isn't me. Now, that list may be from me. That list may be what I want them to know. That list may have my intentions in it. But that list is not me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is larger than the Bible. There are many things the Holy Spirit's done that probably aren't written in here. The Holy Spirit's existed for all eternity with the Father and the Son, and we don't know everything that the Holy Spirit has done. We know only what's revealed. And one of the things that we have to understand is, there's, even though we said 350 times the Holy Spirit's mentioned, there's a lot that's not in here about the Holy Spirit. And you know why? Jesus tells us, The Holy Spirit did not come to speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit wasn't here to talk about Himself. He was here to glorify the Son. And so everything that the Spirit did was to point people to Jesus' death on the cross and the salvation that comes as a result of that death, burial, and resurrection. That was His goal. That was His purpose. Not to bring fame and glory to Himself. And so we have then two extremes. We have the extreme of people who just completely ignore that the Holy Spirit exists just about. Don't even want to talk about Him. Don't want to admit He's there. And then you've got the other extreme, the people who lift the Holy Spirit and what He did above Jesus. And neither is right. There are some people who worship the Holy Spirit almost to the exclusion of the Father and the Son. All they care about is, you know, they talk about they get caught up in the Spirit and get hit by the Spirit and get all these other things by the Spirit that the Bible never said. The Spirit's not going to do something that He didn't say He was going to do. But they come up with all of these things. We can know the Holy Spirit is not what many people think He is. He is a being. He is divine, part of the Godhead. He is working, and still working today. Working through the Word, working through faithful Christians. You realize that when you go and tell somebody the Gospel, that's the Holy Spirit working. The Holy Spirit's busy using you as a tool. He used the Bible as a tool. He needs you as a tool as well. To go spread the Word. There's certainly a lot more that we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. We've just barely begun to scratch the surface tonight. I hope that you've seen some things that we might want to search into a little deeper. Because as I said, we know a lot about the Father. We know a lot about the Son. A lot of times, we don't have much of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're kind of afraid of Him because we're afraid that if we have too much of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we might become Pentecostal again. And that's not got to be the case. We can know about the Spirit and we can understand all that God has revealed about His Holy Spirit without going off the deep end. We don't have to go. If you're here tonight, perhaps you have been resisting the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that we can do. The Holy Spirit, through the Word, often prompts us to repent of our sin. As we saw, He's reproving us of our sin. And what to do to be righteous. Sometimes it may not be that we're out doing something bad. Maybe it's just that we're not doing something good. But He reproves us of the righteousness that we ought to do and warns us of the judgment to come. Perhaps you haven't been listening. You haven't been following where He's leading. You've been going your own way. You may need to turn your life around and start following the Spirit. As many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit. If we're not being led by the Spirit, we're not God's children. We need to be following Him. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.